Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, and welcome to Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Cardiff Garcia, filling in for Charlie Herman. This past week, Hillary Clinton and Marco Rubio officially launched their campaigns for president. This was not a surprise. But in at least one way, these two candidates from opposing sides of the political spectrum actually sounded kind of similar. They're both addressing middle-class Americans.
There's something wrong when CEOs make 300 times more than the typical worker.
That was Clinton in Iowa. And here's Rubio telling NPR that he wants the Republican Party also to be the champion of the working class.
A disproportionate number of people who are trying to make it, who are working class, who are out there working for a living at $18 an hour, $15 an hour, happen to also be people from minority communities. And if you think someone doesn't care or understand people like you, no matter what your policies are, it's going to be difficult to get them to listen to you, much less vote for you.
Well, with me to discuss the similarities and the differences in their economic agendas are Rana Faruhar of Time Magazine and Joe Weisenthal of Bloomberg. Welcome to both of you.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, Rana, let's start with Hillary Clinton first, since right now she essentially is the Democratic field. There's actually a lot we don't know about her economic agenda. So what can we infer right now about what it might end up actually looking like?
Well, it's interesting that she's positioning herself as a champion of the sort of working person, middle class people. The big issue for this week has been the rallies around $15 an hour. And where is she going to come out on that? She hasn't really declared herself. She said she wants to have a discussion about it. I think she is going to have to take a position on whether or not a rise in the federal minimum wage is due. But what's more interesting, actually, is that that doesn't really solve the inequality question, which I think will be the big question economically for 2016. All the action on inequality is at the top of the food chain. And she's right. You know, when you've got CEOs making 300 times the average worker, that's where the action is. However, a lot of the reason that those CEOs are making so much is because they take their pay in options. There are tax loopholes. And many of those policies were actually set under her husband's administration by people like Bob Rubin, Larry Summers. And so who's she taking her advice from? Is it that same crew? Is it somebody different? I think these are big questions for her.
Joe, what do you think? What does her record point to?
I think Rana is exactly right that, you know, if you think there was a funny thing. So she came out this week and she attacked hedge funders a little bit and she sort of struck a populist tone. And then there was this story in Politico where they talked to some of her Wall Street backers and they were basically like, we're not worried because we don't really believe it, which is, of course, correct. Or I mean, it seems like it. So I think that ultimately she is expected to be a reliable centrist Democrat, and it would be surprising if a Clinton administration was much different than that.
Okay. And now let's talk about Senator Rubio and the Republicans, because I'm struck by how much they've explicitly talked about targeting the middle class this time around, in some cases even talking about inequality, as we just mentioned. This is the party that traditionally has shunned this kind of language, saying it amounts to class warfare. Do you think, Rana, that their proposals are actually going to end up matching the rhetoric that they're now using?
Well, I don't know that they're going to match the rhetoric, but I think that there's no getting away from the fact that wages are stagnant, right? That's the key question mark over the recovery. Still, nobody's gotten a raise. And in an economy that's 70% consumer spending, you kind of have to have an answer to, hey, there's been no more money in my paycheck for the last few years. Unfortunately, I don't see any sort of intellectual framework on the conservative side beyond trickle down, which is broken. And I think people have that understanding now that trickle-down theory doesn't work. You know, the makers, the supposed makers are not creating jobs, and they're going to have to come up with a new policy. I don't really see that yet. I don't see any hard facts that support a different idea.
Okay, so you don't think they're ready to make a kind of split with the traditional position?
I don't hear anything that makes sense to me from a policy standpoint yet.
Okay. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. There's definitely been a rise in sort of an economic populism, an attack on the idea that the Federal Reserve and the government have produced a great several years for people with assets, people at the top, people in coastal cities with real estate. But in terms of an actual policy to reverse it or to shift resources from the very wealthy to the less wealthy. You don't really hear it. It's still mostly the same tax cut agenda.
I actually think that's a fascinating point about the Fed, too, because, you know, you can argue that the policies that were advocated by the left, which is a lot of quantitative easing, the Fed putting a lot of money into the markets, actually increased inequality because it mostly goes to the stock holding portion of the population, which is the top 25%. That's kind of an interesting juxtaposition for the right to take, actually.
Okay. Well, here's another topic that's relevant to the theme of income inequality, the tax code. Don't yawn. Don't run away. I promise this is interesting. Okay. Rana, we know that the tax code somewhat mitigates the impact of rising income inequality. It's partly designed that way. People who earn more pay higher rates than people who earn less. But should it be doing more than it already does? And what's a good way to think about this in the first place, about whether it's even appropriate to use a tax code to deal with this issue?
So one of the things we've been talking about is how much of the income inequality problem comes from the fact that you've got the top 1%, 10%, however you want to splice it, getting a lot of their money from equities, from stocks, from dividends. I think that we should have a change in the capital gains structure. Right now in this country, you are taxed in the same way whether you hold a stock for a few minutes or whether you hold it for longer. There needs to be some kind of reward for people actually sticking with a company. I think if you had a tax code that helped combat that kind of short-termism, that would actually go a long way towards fixing a lot of these problems.
Joe?
Yeah, I do think that there's potential to use the tax code as just a stronger blunt force instrument to shift money from the rich and give it to the less rich. It's a simple tool that we have, and I think probably it would be more effective than trying to mitigate inequality via regulation and other sort of small bore moves area.
Just, I agree with that.
Just take money from the rich and give it to the poor. Simple.
Right. And in the little time we have left, can each of you give us a sense of what you're going to be looking at in the coming weeks?
So I'm fascinated by oil prices. You know, we've seen a 50% decline since the summer, but the last few days, oil's been up. What's fascinating to me is this really has very little to do with supply and demand shifts these days. It has a lot to do with the financial markets and how much hot money is in commodities. Oil is financialized.
Joe?
I'm really excited about we're getting into the heart of earnings season. We're going to learn about how the strong dollar is affecting multinational companies. We're going to learn more about the impact of collapsing energy prices. For the first time since the financial crisis, we're expected to have a year-over-year dip in earnings growth. That's largely going to be driven by energy companies, but it's still a fascinating thing to watch.
Rana, Joe, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And this is Money Talking. You can find us as a podcast on iTunes or wherever you subscribe to podcasts. I'm Cardiff Garcia, and you're listening to WNYC.